poems from my collection, Set to Music, A Wildfire. What you need to know about this collection is it follows my father's experiences growing up in Tripoli, Lebanon during the Lebanese Civil War, and follows his trajectory to the United States, where he immigrated and then met my mother, and they had a tumultuous marriage. They had me, which was good for them. And then it kind of follows him as he finds his way back to his home. So the collection is grappling with how we find a sense of belonging in a cruel and chaotic world, and how we can define home for ourselves. Let me be a lamb in a world that wants my lion. In the beginning, there was an angel with cloven feet who stood by me. And the angel said, "My wings are an ocean, and its shoulders split until feathers fell around us. This is how you leave your country, on the back of an ocean, choked with feathers. If someone gives you water, drink. And if they hand you a glass of blood, tell yourself it's water. If they hand you a lamb and say, eat, they will see a lion. They will call you lion when you walk down the street, when the towers come down, when blood is the water they drink. When my belly sings with hunger, it's asking, will you die for an idea? I dreamt I walked the shore of my country and each wave cracked like a bone. The sea of my childhood rattles with skulls and their mouths agape with my name. Drown its vowels. Call me S. Say it's the name the sea spoke when I dragged my feet across an ocean and became somewhere new. I call my dead beloved, but they have too much time for me. If I close my eyes, I see my father on the beach, his hands cupped for water. He says, the dead are always thirsty. And I wake up in time to catch the L for work that hardly keeps me fed. Heaven, leave your light on a little longer. I looked for you on earth and found my daughters. I looked for you and saw your stars strung electric as sorrow, and they wound my current across their backs and carried me here, the middle of a grocery store parking lot. The whine of floodlights burrowing into my capped head and the black night ahead, and I think, my God, will I ever not be surprised by what I can survive? The long country of my loneliness stretched out before me, my hands heavy with the food I can eat. I'm so full of honey in a time of war. Winter in a land I'm learning to love, in a land that won't love me. So I wrote this collection with the kindness and cooperation of my father, who sat through many, many interviews with him where he was like, tell me about the worst thing that's happened to you ever. And he has just been a saint throughout all of it. And he's not here right now, but I just always like to give him a little shout out in a reading because this book would not be possible without him. This next poem is based off of one of the interviews I did with my dad, and it's called Interview with My Father, Names. When someone dies in Tripoli, we write their names on paper next to their pictures and post them where others can see. Walk the street where the names wave from the walls, flutter from windows, buildings gild with sheets, breathing paper, beating paper, the streets are paper. And we don't know who we're going to see, whose face will call from that collage, the hundreds of eyes glancing all around, as though we could lift them from the pages, as though we weren't born into war too, as though our religion, blood bright, in the hands of a checkpoint guard, a flapping wing of paper, won't tack us among them, the raised, their names, white light. One of the things I'm fascinated about is the ways in which our faith in a higher power, God, what have you, can be both life-giving and help us survive difficult, traumatic things, and also can be devastating. So this is a poem in particular that's grappling with those ideas that exist in the same space in the speaker's head. Sirah al-Qiyamah. My father talks to God when Syria occupies Tripoli, 1976. We are in the streets already, drawing lines in the dirt, pulling gunfire into our breath. Does man think you will not assemble his bones when clouds climb and split like timber, and bombs swarm and smoke-stained light? Our bodies' rungs and limbs are rail yard tracks, immovable, tied to the land. When men hunt each other, they call you different names, sounds that sift into rock beds. Listen, it's calling you, this river. We drown in the streets beneath a joined moon and sun, and still the earth shakes us from its hide. Where can I escape? My arms covered in ash, the harbors moored with flame. I love this fleeting world even as I run through the streets, the heat slung on my back, shots mottling the window where I bought bread, and the voices follow, scratch of gravel, barking alleys and smolder. I'm fluent in a new language when I'm this close to the shopkeeper's body, his mouth full of red petals that drip on the counter like prophecy. It ends like this. Our time weighed like grain on a scale. Your hands too full of lives like mine. This next poem is about when my dad comes to America. But before he came to America, he moved to England, which is where he learned to speak English. In Lebanon, we mostly speak a mixture of Arabic with French. So he learned English by listening to the Beatles, which is my favorite piece of dad trivia. My father dreams of a new country. America, I see through your glass. I reach my hand and my fingerprints are everywhere. Like leaves, the gust blows in. I don't have money to feed your fountains or enough water that it's never a wish. But America, I can't stop drinking you in. Your trains, their freight like ours, like the vowels cut from my name. When will you learn my name? I'm running to you, but I can't get there fast enough. I'm strung up on gridirons and city lights. Aren't my arms tired of reaching? Isn't my back tired of carrying this night around? Be good to me like a summer rain. I swear I'm burning. I'm going to read one poem from my mother's point of view because it's delightful. This story delights me. My mom is a very saucy lady, which is probably why she and my dad had a fiery wreck of a marriage. But anyway, this is a story about how she and my dad met, and I was always like, "Oh, I want love like that." But then maybe not, because they didn't end too well. Okay. I'd always told you your father was the most beautiful man in the world. But I was already engaged to Tom Rockwood. Your name was almost Rockwood, and I was 19. The ring wasn't much, just enough to get me moved out from my mom's place. You know how that house is. Piled up with kids all the time, Jesus figurines. Felt like the whole house was made of breath. Tom was out somewhere and I needed to borrow the phone. We didn't have one yet. So I knocked on the neighbor's door, and you wouldn't believe it unless you saw him then. But I'm telling you, it was like my eyes adjusting to light, the door yawning open, your father leaning on the frame, a gap between his front teeth when he smiled at me, that thick hair, olive skin, even the vaccine scar on his arm, round, pin tucked, looked like a shiny new penny. I know it's not the most attractive portrait of your mother, sitting in some man's home, watching the patient way he lifted saucers from the cabinet and boiled water for tea while another man's ring burned its small fire on my finger. I married your father at the courthouse 6 weeks later. We came home one night to my dresser in the driveway, an axe sunk in a scrap of a drawer, the rest of it hacked to bits. So during the war, there are a bunch of, sorry for going back to Lebanon just real quick. So the Lebanese Civil War had a bunch of different countries involved in it, and a lot of different militias fighting against each other. And these different parties were not only divided based on country, but also within Lebanon itself, political, religious lines, everyone fighting everyone, essentially. And they were all after young men my father's age, teenagers, to come and fight for their cause. And I asked my dad, you know, if that was ever a temptation for him or what his thoughts were. Because these recruiters would dog men my father's age and promise, like, $5 a day and a pack of smokes and what have you. And my dad, one of the things he said over and over again in his interviews was that the war was boring because school was out. There was no work to be had. He couldn't go see his friends, so he'd just, like, pace his family's apartment all day. And he said at one point he was tempted to join one of these militias, but ultimately decided against it. And so this poem is kind of dealing with his rationale behind that. My father is the sea, the field, the stone. I don't know what makes a country a country. If the sea softening an edge of land is enough to say, this is mine, and that is yours. There were nights in Tripoli when there was room for us, when the sky pulled up the wings of gulls and we watched their bodies rise from the beach. Days when I chased my sisters through the market and we sailed through bright saffron scarves, past barrels of grain and earthy bins of pine nuts. And how I stood beside my siblings, all dressed in clothes my father made stitch by stitch. I held out my hands for the candy he'd bring if work was good. I knew it was a lot to ask, and still I asked. Some days I'd swim out until I wasn't sure I could come back. The sun beat its indifference into my brow. The water, its mercy. Why choose a coast when my hands are stone? Why a rifle when my blood is a field? I carry these suitcases full of rain because I can't take my country. If it's a choice you want, I've never known a world that wasn't worth dying for. Okay, I'm going to read one more poem and then we're going to let Kappa have the stage. The Keeper of Allah's Hidden Names. When I looked up, the clouds muted the bulb of moonlight, or they wisped like scarves around the neck of a woman, that perfume between light and darkness, and I was still counting. I counted the white-clothed canopies pinned to the mountainside, blustering there as though they could drip down the stone wall like water and wash away, that water jeweled with blood. Your name's like the sea's broken glass. I was counting when you looked down on your animals who leaned into your breath with wonder at the wind stinging through their ribs. Was counting when you pulled the moon down into the sea, a pearl on the tongue of an animal too stupid to swallow your name and keep it there. Was counting from the cliffs every syllable of light and water and leaf and bone. Braying your names like an incantation against the loneliness of knowing you.